Ben, I think Green Loop Briefing is yours.
Yes, thank you. I don't have a lot to talk about today. I did send you all a memo last week, just reminding you that this is not the first time we've talked about the Green Loop. We had a briefing last summer in 2018, and we also talked about it quite extensively during the Block 216 project and their complete redesign of 9th Avenue, which the developers did as mitigation for not meeting the standards that relate to the Green Loop adjacent to that site. So that's what that memo has. It also talks just briefly about some of the information you're going to see today and maybe helps disperse some discussion. I've just got a couple slides to show you really quick. This is an image that you saw back in 2018. And I put this image on the screen specifically to focus on a couple things. The focus of this image looks like it is on the transportation piece of the Green Loop, but I wanted to also point to, if I can get this on the screen, some of the stuff off to the side that's maybe not at the focal point, like this seating area and this area over here. Those are also important pieces of the Green Loop as we discussed back in 2018. So think of it not just as a transportation piece, and I think you're going to be hearing more of that today from our presenters. And then I also have a couple images from Block 216 in case this helps to spur any thoughts that you might have about how development can interface with the Green Loop concept. And that's all I have. So I'm going to turn it over to Laura Lillard and Shannon Sims, unless you have any questions for me.
Any questions? Nope, all good. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for taking the time to hear this briefing on the Green Loop. So we just wanted to share with you just quickly an overview of what the Green Loop is, where it came from. We know that many of you are familiar with it, and it's definitely come to you in the form of development along it and integrated into some of the master planning work that you guys have been deliberating on. But a few of you are new, and so we wanted to just give a little background refresher on the concept itself. And then we secondly want to share with you some of the work that BPS contracted with Mayor Reed to help better inform some discussions, specifically on some alignment decisions around the loop itself as we were working with PBOT back in 2018 on the Central City in Motion discussions. So the Green Loop is a big idea that came from a lot of workshops and community discussions around different parts of the Central City during the Central City 2035 planning process. Mm-hmm. It was adopted in the Central City 2035 plan in May of 2018 with a specific resolution to authorize the city to engage in activities aimed at implementation of the Green Loop, especially where it's integrated into major capital improvement projects along the alignment, including the planning, design, and construction. And with that adoption came an early map with some of the alignments that were still to be determined. So we didn't have it all completely figured out yet, and we still don't. And we knew and we still know that it will take additional outreach and engagement with stakeholders and the community. But we did have, with the Central City 2035 plan, an idea of where it would go, as well as some design principles and precedents to just help serve, inspire future conversations. So for the Green Loop, there are three diagrams that have emerged, and they're pretty helpful for us at understanding at the big picture level if we zoom way out what it's about. The Green Loop was originally shown on the left-hand side of that diagram sort of as this concept that would act as an analog to the streetcar loop, and this was actually pretty exciting for us because the streetcar wasn't a loop as we were drawing this. It was not yet, the tracks were not yet in the ground. But this sort of acts as the analog to the streetcar, but it takes its inspiration from the park blocks. And really promoting, and as opposed to transit and rail, sort of this walkable, linear park-like loop that includes open spaces and a multi-use path. It also connects neighborhoods across the central city and beyond it, and it could be this catalyst or augment the catalytic development that happens at the north and south ends of the central city, and definitely serve to connect those areas to the rest of the city. We recognize on the right-hand side, you know, that the loop is not a one-size-fits-all. And I think the last time we came, we discussed this sort of idea of this elements of distinction and elements of continuity. We have referred to this diagram sometimes as a one concept, many forms. And it recognizes that the loop is really this sort of multi-use path, linear park that will take on and reflect back its context and the community that it serves. So that's sort of another diagram that's emerged, and that's very much a part of the loop. And then that middle diagram is actually came out of the Mayor Reed work, and so I give them credit for that during their studies with us, sort of to help describe the Green Loop while we were working with PBOT. And you can see, you know, on the left, this idea that the Green Loop will integrate mobility, but that's not what it's about. It's a way to get from one destination to the next, but it is also meant to be a destination in and of itself. And there should be lots of opportunities for placemaking, pausing, sitting, interacting, stopping, resting, and it's not just about bikes. So that's really the left-hand side. You know, that's not what we're talking about. It's not a cycle track. It is meant to accommodate slow wheels, bicycles, maybe scooters, but there are other faster routes that are more accommodating for the spandex clad. This is really not that. The Green Loop should definitely have a relationship to the buildings that frame it. It's an extension of the public realm, and it should have a relationship to those buildings and to the people in those buildings. So that middle diagram really speaks to sort of the idea about what it is. As far as design principles, I've mentioned a few of them. There should definitely be spaces for walking and jogging and slow riding, but the all ages and abilities kind of cycling. And those activities should absolutely be physically separated from cars. We also want to see canopy all along the Green Loop as much as possible. I've talked about the park block serving as inspiration. Certainly it produces its own microclimate. It's a very pleasant pedestrian environment, and that's especially important on the east side where we have fewer trees or open spaces. This is an opportunity for branding and identity of the geography, of the neighborhood, of the community, of the city. It's also an opportunity to think about creative furnishing and art. And as I mentioned, the Green Loop should absolutely be thought of as an extension of the public realm. And that really starts at how the building and its program and its design integrate with the loop. So just putting it all together, this next rendering is one that Ben showed you already, extending from building face to building face and incorporating sort of these eddies that we've talked about and opportunities for art and plazas along a safe route for walking, jogging, and cycling. So something like this. So how did we get here? During the years that led up to the adoption of the plan, we worked with many, many organizations that came to BPS because they wanted to use the Green Loop really as a way to engage the public about shaping built environment and about how to get around the city. We worked with PSU, the University of Oregon, PNCA. We worked with Design Week Portland, who held a design competition. I know many of you are aware of that. That was specifically about the Green Loop. And the following year, we held an exhibition at the Red. We've worked with Young Professionals in Transportation, Better Block, Oregon Walks, Go Lloyd, Pedalpalooza. We've held two Sunday Parkways, which generated the largest crowds they've ever seen on a Sunday Parkways 2 years in a row. And this has always been an opportunity for us to hear from many, many people, many young people, diverse groups of people that we never would have had the opportunity to hear from in a city public open house, for instance, that doesn't always attract the most diverse crowd. So because of all of this, engagement was really a community led. It also wasn't our typical board and easels approach. So it's been a very hands-on engagement. There are a lot of precedents where cities are actively engaged in transforming their downtowns from places where cars are very prominent into places that support walking and cycling and support getting from one destination to another. similar to how we envision the Green Loop. And frankly, we're just behind as a city. We need to really think about and just sort of grab the bull by its horns in terms of how we think about this next generation of placemaking. Excuse me. And this is a slide that reminds us that we don't have $80 million to build the Green Loop. So it will be done in many different ways. And I think we shared this slide with you last time we came. You know, there's public infrastructure like the bridge across I-84, capital improvement projects like the traffic signals that will be part of Central City in Motion project. Those come at a cost of about $250,000 each. So that is definitely part of how the Green Loop will be built. And then development regulations, for instance, when a project comes in, and what are the tools that you all have as a commission and that PBOT has that can help provide this direction for what is the Green Loop. And I just want to pause here and recognize that there is definitely a gap between this adopted city policy, like the Green Loop, and then the tools that you have to implement the Green Loop. And I know we mentioned this last time. So we would love to sort of at the end of this hear from you about what specific guidance would be helpful for you as you continue to review projects and as we work towards getting you those tools. And I'll have some specific questions that I'll get to at the end. This is a map just saying, you know, the loop is happening now. The darkest spots on that map, that ABC, are places that are under construction or soon to be. Block 216, like Ben mentioned, the Earl Blumenauer Bridge, the Culinary Corridor Phase 1 at that Ankeny Park. And then some of the areas in blue are currently in active planning work, and the direction is being determined by stakeholders and communities in many of the areas where the Green Loop is a piece of the puzzle. And this includes Broadway Corridor, River District Right-of-Way Standards Update, the South Park Block Master Plan, which I think you will hear from in a few weeks, Central City in Motion, and then the I-5 Rose Quarter Albina Vision Area. Some of these areas, the ones in orange, may have existing direction but no project, and then some are not being looked at all, and those are the areas in pink. So the areas outlined in brown here are places where we asked Mayor Reed to help us understand where we had questions specifically about the alignment. And I had mentioned to you that the map that was adopted in the Central City 2035 plan in some cases had two lines on a map. And we were a little nervous when development came in that they would see the two lines on a map and go, are we on the loop or are we not on the loop? I'm still a little nervous about that because we haven't, you know, there's a lot of areas in flux. But we asked Mayor Reed to just come help us decide for the Lloyd, for instance, what are some of the benefits and trade-offs of 6th versus 7th? And then the Central East side, same conversation. What are the benefits and trade-offs of looking at 6th or 7th? In the South downtown, I think we looked at about four different alignment alternatives because the area, you know, where we are now is really hard to get from where we are now down to OHSU. And then we also had them look at North Park blocks to parts of Midtown and just flanking the park blocks themselves or going on one side versus the other. So that was part of the work that they shared with us. And they helped us engage some stakeholders and aid in decision-making, or at least inform some of those trade-offs and choices between these alignments to the Sullivan's Gulch Crossing Bridge and as we were looking at the Central City in Motion project. Their scope of work included existing conditions analysis, open space opportunities analysis, adjacent redevelopment opportunities analysis, and schematic design alternatives that would look at kind of all of putting all of these pieces together. So they were, you know, not just looking at the curb to curb. We were working with PBOT to accelerate the development of alignment decisions that I talked about, and we see this joint work with these active planning projects in blue, especially like the South Park Blocks Master Plan and the Albina Vision and their grant project and the ODOT project as sort of our next planning work with the Green Loop and how it can augment and support the visions in those areas. So with that, Mayor Reed is going to show you some of the schematic designs that illustrate what the Green Loop. Oh, there's a couple more. Yeah, thank you. So this is just, again, a reminder of where the Green Loop is happening now. These are the sort of dark points on that map. So this is Block 216. We can just go through these quickly. This is the Sullivan's Gulch Crossing Bridge. This is going to break ground November 7th, which is pretty exciting. And then this is that Ankeny Park, sort of phase one of a culinary corridor. All right.
Thanks. So my name is Shannon Sims. I'm a landscape architect with Mayor Reed. And I'm going to share with you, it's, I guess, a good sign some of my notes seem identical to things that you just said. So some description of the Green Loop conceptual design studies that we've been working on with Bureau of Planning. I believe that the commission got a copy of an excerpt from our draft report that came out in January. That really represents a body of work looking in these different districts that goes all the way back to the fall of 2017. So some of this is work that you know, you'll see in some of the images that predates, for instance, the knowing the alignment of the Blumenauer Bridge. As Laura mentioned, we were focused on a portion of the Central East Side, the Lloyd District, the North Park blocks, and South Downtown for some specific alignment questions. I'm going to focus mostly today on the work that we did in the Central East Side and the Lloyd. And as Laura mentioned, so we studied existing conditions analysis that I'll go through in those districts with you, highlighted opportunities for open space and setbacks, evaluated alignment options, and provided some conceptual design for what the Green Loop might look like. And Laura already did a great job describing this diagram on the right, but that is really something that came out of the process of studying these different districts and the alignment questions. This idea that we're not talking merely about a linear transportation connection, but a series of places itself. We're looking to leverage opportunities in the right-of-way itself, in adjacent open spaces and adjacent buildings to create a high-quality destination, that the Green Loop is really as much about stopping and experiencing and enjoying our city as it is about moving through it on the six-mile loop. So in the Central East Side study area, we were looking at a 10-block swath between Southeast Washington and I-84, where the major outstanding question, as Laura mentioned, was should the alignment follow 6th Avenue or 7th? And when we began our study, as I mentioned, you'll see at the top here, there's two lines for the Blumenauer Bridge, which we now know is connecting 7th Avenue in the Central East Side to 7th Avenue in the Lloyd. So our analysis of 6th and 7th took into consideration the street condition, where parking and loading occurs, where curb cuts are and steeper slopes on roadways, how existing buildings' frontages interact with the street, where there's fences and blank walls versus buildings with very good street interface, and what zoning and land use conditions are. And so these diagrams have a lot of information on them, but at a high level, we found on 6th Avenue, we found a greater number of existing buildings with active street frontages and pedestrian-oriented uses, including portions of the Grand Avenue Historic District that aligns with 6th. And by contrast, quite a few auto-related uses, sort of large areas of auto-related uses, which are outlined here in red along 7th Avenue, that really feel like they dominate that space when you look at from that sort of linear perspective. Additionally, on 6th Avenue, the east side of the street is zoned general industrial, IG1, and the west side is central employment, the EX zone. Whereas on 7th Avenue, it's IG on both sides of the street. So in terms of thinking about future development of those two streets, we're seeing a greater potential on 6th for redevelopment, specifically the type of future development that would be incorporating ground floor window standards and pedestrian standards. We're also looking for which alignment offered greater opportunities for future open spaces. So as you know, in the Central East Side, there's very little existing open space, and it seems like this is an amenity that the Green Loop can actually help to provide and bring into the district. And I just want to emphasize, this was a speculative exercise where we considered the possibility of using right-of-way space and adjacent underdeveloped parcels that may be reimagined as district open spaces. So for example, these blocks that you see here are currently the full block surface parking lots owned by Wentworth Subaru. And we considered how setbacks also could be incorporated into future development. They can create space that activates the street, places for people to gather, places for landscape that can contribute to the Green Loop. There is no Green Loop setback requirement on the east side as there is on the west side today. So the image on the right is really just to say if a similar type of setback were incorporated, what could that look like? In the EX zone along 6th Avenue. And we invite your comments on this idea if this is something that should be pursued. You can discuss that later. In terms of the arrangement of elements, so getting down to kind of this block scale, we studied several conceptual sections for the Green Loop to see how the different components might fit together. Space for people to walk, for people to gather, for people to bike or scoot, space for large canopy trees, as well as space for people to drive or park. And what all of these concepts share is that it really takes a larger proportion of the typical street and dedicates it to pedestrian use. And I would say, haven't selected one of these. This is really just an exploration to get ideas going about what the Green Loop could look like in a typical section. We were really attracted to concepts that invert the typical street cross section. For instance, planting a large canopy in the middle of the right-of-way, as you see in Concept B, that would be an immediate calling card for the Green Loop as a unique feature, as an urban street designed for people to use and enjoy it. So the Green Loop won't be limited really just to one typical cross-section. It'll have a lot of variety along its length. Even within a single alignment, as is shown on here on 6th Avenue, there might be narrow and wide variations of the loop. So the image on the upper right shows a narrower version where the components of the Green Loop fit in the right-of-way, and also there's still space for at least one travel lane. And then on the lower right, that image speculates that if there was, for instance, a park development, that might be a reason to close that particular block of the street and allow the park to extend all the way to the building faces on the opposite side. So in the Lloyd District, our study area went from I-84 northward and included consideration of whether the alignment should be on 6th Avenue or 7th, and then west over on Clackamas over the proposed bridge on I-5 into the Rose Corridor into the Broadway Bridge. And we used a very similar approach in terms of our analysis as to what we looked at in the Central East Side, where we looked at street condition, where parking and curb cuts are, identifying where the structured parking is and where the entrances to those rather large facilities may conflict with Green Loop users. We looked at building interfaces and where there are building entrances and where there's more active street interfaces and where there's not, and also where those kind of major architectural landmarks are in that district. And then we're also looking at areas where there's potential or planned redevelopment in the district. In terms of zoning, unlike the Central East Side, almost the entire area is in the central commercial zones, the CX, including both 6th and 7th Ave, so it doesn't have the same type of distinction in terms of that potential future redevelopment as we saw on the Central East Side. In terms of transportation, understanding how the existing and planned bike network overlays in the Lloyd, the presences of streetcar and the MAX on or near the alignments, this really kind of helped us bring more of a distinction between 6th and 7th Avenues, I think. In terms of the alignment choice, we found that 6th Avenue tends to have a lot of parking-associated uses on it, both structured and surface. The buildings tend to face away from 6th rather than really engage it. And it's a quieter street, but also a little bit more of a back-of-house type feeling. Compared to 7th Avenue, which is actually a wider right-of-way that has the streetcar running down the center of it, and a lot more activation from the buildings like Haslow on 8th and the MAX stop nearby in Halliday. So we also looked at open space in the Lloyd, in particular what different opportunities there are for open space adjacencies on 6th versus 7th. And we found that 7th Avenue really has more opportunities for people using the Green Loop to interface with the plazas and the open spaces that are built on the setbacks of some of the district's tallest buildings. So the Liberty Center Plaza, the future development proposed at Oregon Square, existing Haslow and 8th, create this sequence of unique spaces that are very specific to the Lloyd District. And although we did look at open space opportunities in the whole district, the focus of our effort was really on that sort of question of 6th versus 7th. We're aware that there's been a lot of advancements both in the Albina Vision and the Rose Corridor planning process since the time of our study. And what is shown here is really not meant to be prescriptive. I think the main message is that the Green Loop is an element that's meant to be continuous with adjacent open spaces, and the graphics are really highlighting at a pretty high level where that could happen. We additionally explored the concept of reducing 7th Avenue from a two-way street down to one-way. The section on the left are existing sections of 7th Avenue, and on the right, that shows this concept. Because of the larger right-of-ways, so commonly 70 feet in one place right at the station platform, 80 feet of right-of-way, This allows a substantial amount of space to be converted over to the green loop elements of canopy, pedestrian gathering spaces, sidewalk, and bikeway. And this, I think once we drew this out, we really started to see this opportunity to elevate 7th Avenue into a major district street, one that represents the values and aspirations of the Lloyd as a vibrant, eco-minded part of our city. So as Laura mentioned, there's a lot of work still to come in terms of what the material distinctions are of the green loop, in terms of paving, lighting, tree species, furnishings, wayfinding, signage, or what the cues are that let you know that you're on a loop. And we're really interested to discuss that with you today. As Laura also mentioned, the loop is really imagined to respond to and really incorporate the character of each district that it's in, as well as have its own elements of continuity. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Laura.
Thank you. As I mentioned, we're aware there's a gap between this existing city policy and what you all have at your disposal to implement the green loop. And what's the specific direction or tools to help you do that. I am developing a work plan that sort of works in conjunction with PBOT and BDS to help answer some of those questions about the green loop, or at least set the questions in motion. And it will take engagement of stakeholders and community on parts of the loop to best respond to the context and vision of the different areas along the loop. We know that you all have been engaged in several master planning sites and in Block 216, so we would love to hear from you all about what worked and what didn't, principles that would be helpful in thinking about development and its relationship to the green loop, what precedents you're interested in that help you or that you are looking for, and then just maybe general feedback on that 12-foot setback. That is currently our zoning tool that we have on the park blocks only. But is that the best tool for the rest of the area where when we decide where the alignment will be? So I'm just interested in hearing, from you all. This is I hope to be a discussion and just get your feedback as we're kind of thinking about this because it's so preliminary.
Thanks, Laura. Commissioners, do you have questions? If we have specific questions to ask of Laura and Shannon, let's do that now. And then there are a couple of people here who would like to provide some public comment.
I do have a question. Have you engaged Portland Parks in terms of what they are thinking, what the deficiencies are in the southeast, central southeast and northeast areas, and what they're thinking of? They are rolling in dough and as far as system development charges go. So there's a great opportunity here.
We've more engaged with parks and the South Park Block Master Plan update for sure. On the east side, since we haven't gotten super specific about where the alignment is, and because there are active planning projects there, it's more been about what's the future of, say, the OMSI area, what's the future of the Rose Quarter I-5 interchange. And it's likely going to be partnerships and what comes out of those big planning efforts. And then certainly there was discussion, speaking of capital improvement projects, about the landings on the Earl Blumenauer Bridge. Those became really important places that aren't parks, certainly, but that's sort of part of the kind of the development of the Green Loop as not just that mobility single line, but places to pause and interact and stop. And, this isn't just about transportation. But again, that's not necessarily the parks. So other than those two areas where we're sort of, where there's already active engagement with those planning processes, we haven't done a whole lot because there hasn't been a project to get into the weeds on.
I really encourage you to talk to them because there has been a deficiency in that area, and they have been focusing on Outer East rightfully to close the gap. But since this, you're on the planning sort of phase, and they are planning for those areas. it really makes sense to overlap these things and make it more possible for some of these things to happen sooner than later. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Others?
On the Central East Side, would Southeast 6th then become one-way traffic, or would it be still two-way traffic? Or? How would that work out?
We haven't, can you just go back to a section of that? Some of the discussions on Southeast 6th, you know, for the Green Loop to...
Oops, I went past. There we go.
To be on half of the right-of-way, it would probably mean that the other half is one-way. But none of those, like Shannon mentioned, none of those alignments have been decided at all. What has been decided, and this was through Central City in Motion, and the work that Mayor Reed did and the engagement with the Central City, Central East Side Industrial District, is that we have decided on 6th Avenue as the alignment, and that's as far as we've gone. The exact design, whether it's on one side of the street, as Shannon mentioned, we have an opportunity with the west side being EXD, and that would certainly come in front of you all. Versus the east side being IG. That certainly sets up a conversation about what if it's just all on the west side. There is also some back and forth on whether or not a two-way bicycle path works with a one-way street. And so PBOT traffic engineers haven't looked at it yet. That's definitely part of my future master work plan to settle on exactly where it is and what it is. So that's yet to be determined.
Right, and I'll just add to that that the concept sections that are here, there is one of them, Concept C, that shows two-way travel, but in order to kind of make more space for all those Green Loop elements, you'll notice that there's no curb zone there, and that could really impact, you know, if that type of thing were implemented, it would have to be done in a place where that worked with adjacent uses, either existing or new development. In the other sections, we were looking at more of a one-way configuration with still retaining a curb zone. And there's a lot of, like Blair said, a lot more to discuss in terms of just impacts to traffic and also, you know, access to those buildings along that block face.
On C, I was just curious how PBOT Bikes feels about on the right-hand side, a bike facility really unbuffered from the traffic travel lane, just separated by a curb. We hear sometimes that, you know, they need more positive kind of definition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Bikes wander off, fall off the mm-hmm. curb into the travel lane and stuff like that, mm-hmm. unless it's flush or something. I'm just curious how they are, what their reactions are.
I mean, I think it's an evolving conversation. There's a best case scenario in which the separation between a bike and the car is something physical and something wide and perhaps you're vertical. But then as the space gets narrow and narrower, you have fewer and fewer choices. They're using a lot of wands these days. They don't see that the loop is... because of the way we've described it together, is something that has plastic wands running down it that doesn't feel like a placemaking kind of linear park that we've envisioned and we've described. So we have talked about when space is tight to just do that vertical curb separation that you're talking about. On a quieter street like 6th Avenue, maybe that would work. I mean, it's sort of an evolving conversation, or maybe... you know, maybe we need to think more about how to accommodate the trucks that are still operating very much in the IG zone. So I think there's a lot to explore still in the Central East Side, but certainly a vertical separation, even if it's a 6-inch curb, is better than running flush with just a stripe.
It makes me think that in Section B, if the concept of slow speed, recreational-oriented biking, that's mode is pretty compatible with slow speed pedestrians, and I think that's the lesson from Indianapolis. It's most of the time it's like that, and then both of those modes have a buffer from the vehicular.
You kind of get more out of it when you group them together also. That area that we've shown, the large canopy tree, which could also have, you know, it would be a wide enough space to have some benches or people places for people to gather, right?
Yeah.
if there are not other questions, we will come back to more discussion and more questions, but I will ask Laura and Shannon to step back. And there are three people who have signed up. I'm not sure everyone wants to provide a comment. So Joe Durand, are you here? Would you like to comment?
No, because I'm from the Friends at South Park blocks, and I didn't understand until I got here that you were covering the South Park blocks today. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, South Park blocks. There isn't. Have you seen the future looking agenda to figure out when? If you talk to the guy in the white shirt right behind you, he knows what the agenda looks like. Laura, here in front also has the agenda. Marion McNamara.
Same.
Okay, right on. Rukaya Adams, would you like to come forward?
Thank you to the commissioners and to the staff for organizing this, and to Mayor Reed for the work they've done, and the Green Loop team for the beautiful work that's going from imagination to reality. Oh, state my name. My name is Rukaya Adams. I'm the chair of the Albina Vision Trust. I'm here to comment a little bit about the section of the plan that was described as the Lloyd District. The Albina Vision work, for those who don't know, is basically from the Blanchard side north of Broadway to the Steel Bridge, Lloyd District to the river. And some of the work that is described in the Green Loop design schematics that focus on open spaces in the neighborhood identified as the Lloyd District, which I think you have more detailed slides in your deck than were presented today. Raised some concerns for us, and I want to tell you why, to ask for the help of the Design Commission. We support the Green Loop work and love the idea of it going through the Albina neighborhood, but we're concerned that the design process not merely replicate the process that led to the destruction of the community in the first place, where you could have people with the best of intentions on the design side actually replicate the impact that we've seen in that community before, which is not to consider the very long-term community engagement work that we've been doing to make sure that the neighborhood is redeveloped. We've been at this for more than 5 years, at this point almost 6 years, and thinking about the open space concepts and the impact on parking in particular, we hope that if these design concepts come back to the Design Commission, that you ask questions about how other communities are engaged in visualizing and conceptualizing the open spaces and the parking parts of the design work in particular. We also hope that you can help us remain vigilant in thinking more broadly about what design is and what you review, that it's not merely the built environment and the aspects of materials, but also the way that those materials engage with the history of the community and the future of the community. In that regard, we'd like to continue to support this and ask for your help in thinking through some of the community parts of this work, in particular in Lower Albina. We just wanted you to know what our concerns were, and we look forward to coming back to Design Commission with the Green Loop team. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, do you have any comments or any questions?
I think that's a good comment. Shannon alluded to that this is going to be episodic, and it's going to reflect the character of each neighborhood that it passes through. And I know they haven't had a chance to kind of fully develop what that means, elements of continuity and elements of distinction. But I support what you're saying as it lands over on the other side of I-5 in the Albina area, it should be something different.
And I would add to that, I think that your comments really get at the heart of context and a lot of conversation that the commission has been having over the course of the last couple of years about the changing context of Portland, especially neighborhoods in the central city. Are we, when we talk about context, are we talking about the past, the future, neighborhoods that are in transition? And I think you are rightly pointing out to us that we need to consider all of this when we're looking at these types of proposals.
We'll voyage on with you.
Thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
Okay, that is all for public comment. Laura and Shannon, you're welcome to come forward again. Ben, before we go to general discussion and feedback, do you have anything that you would like to prompt us with?
What kind of prompting would you like?
We all read the memo. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I just threw out some ideas based off my first reading through the design document that you all received. You know, it's very schematic. I think we've heard some more discussion about it today. It's pretty open-ended in terms of what you can talk about. I know Laura was specifically asking for what kinds of tools you might need to help, not just you, frankly, BDS staff will also need these tools to help understand the best way to make the Green Loop become a reality through individual development projects, just like we did in Block 216. So
okay.
maybe that's enough.
Yeah, thank you very much. With that prompt in mind, most of my questions are about the tools, because most of the conversation that I have with you, Laura, is about the tools.
That's right.
Are you able to flip back to the slide that shows the entire loop and how projects are falling out along that loop?
Yes.
So, that's the one. Okay. So, thinking about timing, Ben's memo indicated that we may have more tools available that are specific to Green Loop when the Central City Fundamentals are updated. I don't even know what the timeline is for that. And yet development work is ongoing and it's real. And you know how challenging the conversation was on Block 216. So can you talk a little bit about the timeline for some of the Green Loop work where there is development happening and how you think we will bridge the gap from now to tools?
Yes. And this diagram it's a little messy and it may not be 100% accurate. But I have definitely thought about this. There is a post-DOZA life for me and and you. And the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines is certainly something that will come, hopefully, you know, right on the heels of DOZA, using the guidance from DOZA, so we don't have to have the same conversations over and over again unless the Central City specifically warrants. But I recognize that there is a gap even between when you guys are discussing those guidelines, and development is just happening all the time and we
always
can't really help it.
Right.
My thinking, and I shared this with Ben earlier, is that when we have a better idea of what the alignment is, that we would put in place some kind of stopgap memo or admin rules that we would develop with you, BDS, and PBOT that at least give us all sort of the same playbook for projects that come in along the Green Loop. So for instance, if something comes in along Southeast 6th and the Central East Side, you know, what are some things that we can all be advocating for? Probably no parking entrance to a garage on 6th, if that's at all possible. Making space for trees and open space, or, you know, a plaza on that side, if at all possible. So kind of giving enough guidance like that without the actual guidelines in place, could we all be working from the same memo or, you know, or it's an, you know, maybe it's an MOU or some kind of set of admin rules. That's sort of my idea for a short-term stopgap before you actually have the guidelines in place and before PBOT actually has the right-of-way design standards in place.
To get to that, I'm sorry I'm behind the eight ball. Do you have to have kind of decided on a cross-section by then? You don't want the cross-section to vary block by block. It's got to be kind of,
right,
this is going to be it.
And I don't know that we actually have to decide on the exact cross-section. I'm still working with that. I mean, that's something that I would want to make sure that PBOT's comfortable with. How much information do you need to know before we can at least give everybody the same?
I mean, you want to know if it's two-way bikes on one side of the street versus...
Well, for starters, we want to know if it is 6th or 7th, for instance.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right,
that's at least where we want to land, exactly which street it's on. The park blocks is another conversation. Or, you know, going through Midtown, that's a conversation. So just knowing exactly where it is, that's for starters, that would be really important. And then beyond that, the cross-section. But even if we don't have the cross-section quite nailed down, it still would be important for you guys to be able to have something in place.
I guess I'm not saying the cross-section couldn't morph from one area to the other, but that's got to be on some reasonable scale. It can't morph every block. It's got to probably go some natural distance before it changes to something else or something. And PBOT's going to have a lot to say about that, I think.
And looking at the map, you know, maybe I'm not thinking about this correctly, and let me know if I'm not. But when I look at this map and I see that block 216, for all intents and purposes, that review is done and that's going to happen and the decisions are made. The Earl Blumenauer Bridge and Culinary Corridor, the other two black dots where there is work actively happening, largely out of our hands, kind of given that those are public projects that belong to different bureaus. I'm not really worried about the South Park blocks because there will be active planning happening there. It's the pink, right? It's the central east side and the orange Lloyd that's really concerning because there is development happening all along those alignments and we don't have approval criteria or really any kind of guidelines. And then there are two commissions potentially.
Correct.
So it seems really complex and really difficult. And undoubtedly, there will be a proposal that lands in the inbox tomorrow that will force it.
So I'm going to jump in for a second. Because I think getting to what Laura was saying, once we know the alignment, it seems like maybe in the central east side, we've landed on 6th Avenue.
Yeah, that does make sense.
That gives staff certainly a route to work with. And we can... We were able to use our existing guidelines with Block 216 to pretty good effect.
Absolutely, but that was really difficult.
It was difficult. And we're not, I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of projects where we're talking about redesigning the street, right? So it's going to be really, in the interim, probably focusing on how the building just interfaces with the street that we have today. And I think we have to think really carefully about how to be flexible for whatever the future is going to be over the next couple of years, right?
Over the next couple of years. It seems as though having some idea about where those larger open spaces might happen, where the eddies are, where we want to develop a kind of intense public realm use as part of the Green Loop would be really valuable.
You may have explained this, and I just went over my head, but to Ben's point, if a big building goes in, they're going to completely replace the sidewalk. Are they going to put just the standard sidewalk back, or are they going to put, on the desired side of the street?
I think they're required to pull the building back to begin with, right? I mean, that is the base, no?
Not on the east side.
Not on the east side.
Yeah,
we don't have any setback tool.
I think I like to really focus on this general idea. We've got, whether it's 6 or 7, we've got 60 feet or 70 feet of cross-section to work with. And within that, you want to achieve the goals that you set out to achieve, which is not just a slow transportation and multimodal. It is really creating a signature loop along that. So what are the things that needs to happen within that 60 or 70 feet? Or is that enough? That's another idea. And I think I want to go back to what Don said, the idea of, do we need to have two-way streets on in central east side, or even in northeast, you already have decided that it would be one way, correct?
No, it's the opposite. Well, we have decided that 6th Avenue is the alignment in the central east side, but not the actual configuration, not the street section.
Right. So, I think, you know, what I would like to advise you at this time is trying to maximize the use of that right away, that area that you have. And if possible, we could recommend, if the commission agrees, that there would be a setback, required setback for the buildings as well, as you do the central city guidelines to do that. So then you would have as much space as you need to give you flexibility to achieve what you want to achieve with this. Because the way it is right now, just having seen the cross sections, to me, that's not a compelling vision. It is just a set of landscapes and trails going along. What I'm hoping for is, through both regulations and through acquisitions and improvements, you really come up with a very, very compelling implementation ideas that you know, set your goals on. So,
thank you. So here's an idea. Maybe you don't want this idea, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. Tell me if it really is a poor idea. Could we have a work session just to kind of talk it through at that level?
Right.
And I think that would really help us as a commission to participate in that conversation, and then to understand what the goals are when projects start rolling in that need to respond to approval criteria that may not be fully baked.
Because even if you want to do that stopgap measure, you need to have a concept of what you are in the future trying to accomplish, to just then have those small steps to protect the opportunity for the future. Mm-hmm. So I think setting those parameters are very, very important at this time.
I don't oppose work sessions. I actually think it would help. I don't think Troy Doss is here. But there are, you know, he's sort of taking on the Central City fundamentals and the future of that work. And the Green Loop is definitely going to be a piece of it. So I would like to fold it into not only your discussions and deliberations when projects come through, but also what's the future of those tools, right?
Absolutely.
So that it has a place to go.
Yeah. And then the other thing, going back.
I'm kind of volunteering him, and he's not in here.
Nicely
I guess
done.
I'm just acknowledging that.
Yes.
And the other thing, and this goes back to what Rukaya's comments, which is contextual. You know, how do you deal with each area? When you guys did that competition, one of the most interesting part of it was how various sections of this loop people would engage and identify the character of their area and what elements should be in there. So that is part of it. And we can collaboratively come up with a framework for each of these areas. So with the idea then in the future, its implementation could happen with specific sub-areas.
Yeah.
Residents, workers, whatever, so.
I think a workshop of some sort would be very useful. I guess I'm afraid is that only gets you sort of some of the ideas for that framework, and then it has to be developed.
It still has to be done, yeah.
Someone has to do it, and I'm sure that's something that there's no budget for, and there's no, you know.
Oh, no, the tools are coming. There is, that's part of our work plan.
Then it's imperative to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
I was just afraid that you end up having a great discussion, and then it just fizzles into no tools for us to use.
We just didn't want you all juggling multiple sets of guidelines at once.
Well, thank you.
If you can, we can.
No, it's really about we can't juggle multiple guidelines at once.
Just another comment. You know, it'd be good for it not to be a repeat of what happened in Block 216, where suddenly we start to analyze it, and then that project starts to define what's going to happen on the streets on either side of it. So what could happen with the first project on 6 that starts to define what's going to happen on the rest of the whole Central East Side.
Right.
And it'd be good for everybody to have a pre-idea of what's desirable prior to that happening and starting to define it for the rest of, in perpetuity to some extent.
I've been watching in downtown Seattle in the Amazon area, a deluxe bike facility, a really enhanced streetscape begin to get rolled out one block at a time. It's in an awkward adolescent stage right now where there's maybe only two or three blocks of it. So people are not using the right parts of it. But I think there is a plan for an extensive outlay of that. And I'll do a little bit of digging on my own just to find out how Seattle is requiring that and implementing. I'm assuming Amazon is building that as they put up these 50-story buildings. They're implementing that vision. So I'll see what I can find on that.
Okay, that'd be great. So we'd really like to do a work session on this with you, and Troy. I would imagine that it would be difficult to get it on the calendar today, but we don't want to have quorum when we do that. We would just like to have three commissioners participate, I think.
Well, if it's a work session during a normal hearing.
If it were on a Thursday afternoon and we were all present, that would be, yeah. And we were here with the microphones, that would be fine.
If it's a work session that, I guess I want to just give commissioners the reminder that if we're going to be talking about what the context of each of these segments should be,
yep.
We really should be involving the public in that discussion,
yeah.
Not just coming up with things out of our own heads.
Right? Well, good point. And, you know, my goal would be to focus really on public realm and context. Those two of the three areas in which we have great expertise.
We don't want to design that. We just want to establish the framework for what could happen.
And looking at this through the lens of guidelines, I think, is a smart thing to do at this point in the early planning.
Ben has a good point, though. So context, don't we define that more so when we're here in the actual, you know, with the neighborhood that's... if there's a project and it's in a certain neighborhood, wouldn't you discuss that more in that context versus what we would be doing is just helping establish some frameworks which don't necessarily are devoid of that, and that's the fleshing of the actual project or eventually there is a, you know, section by section meeting, but it's a lot of work to try and define the context of, what is it, 6-7 different sections?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we would actually need to dig that deeply. I mean, I think it's just making sure that there's some line in the framework that it makes clear that context is being addressed in a way that is consistent with what we discuss in the hearings room. Pretty high level.
Well, it'd be important for the next big project that comes along that we have some sort of tools to evaluate what's and approve. Because 216, we didn't.
Right.
I mean, it was... The more you push, the less there was there to react to.
And, you know, who knows? When the greenway is done, the block 216 could be very incongruous because it was the first out of the gate and we didn't have anything to work with and we just came up. And I have no doubt it will become very incongruous. So, those are the kind of things that we need to think about.
There's more upside to us getting together than there is, I think, downside.
Yeah.
So I think it's worthwhile.
Okay. And Ben, you prefer to do it here? You think
we can strategize on that. We don't. I don't think we have to decide today.
Okay.
But I guess I was just going to put it out there that having the public involved is not a bad thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably doing it section by section makes some sense too, for public input.
Yeah. District by district.
The Albina section, for example, being a prime one.
Yeah. Okay.
So we can figure out when
we'll
start
to
scheduling
to strategize.
That and probably not figure that out right now.
Yeah, right. Very good. Are there specific questions for us to respond to today that would be helpful right now, in the moment?
No. I mean... Eventually, I would like to, I mean, interested in, and you sort of alluded to this idea of a setback. Mm-hmm. Are there other tools? Is that the silver bullet? You know, I just want us to think a little bit creatively about that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, we will. Hey, this is a really good presentation. Are you willing to make it, available in its entirety?
Sure.
I would like to see the whole thing.
Isn't it?
It's really
it is.
Good.
It goes on your.
It should be uploaded
server.
To our.
Is it okay?
Our e-files.
Right. Yeah, the e-files.
Yes. Okay. Got
this
it.
This will go on e-file because the previous one was not. Because when I was away, I couldn't access it.
I have a copy of that. I can make sure that both of those get uploaded.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Okay. This is very exciting, and I honestly think that the Central East Side one, and to some degree in the Lloyd District, but not as much, but especially Central East Side, participation of parks is essential because it would give you opportunities more than those two couple of blocks that you identified to really add to the dimension and width of this area. So,
yeah. Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great work.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
And it's enjoyable to think about this. This is a level of planning that is just really very enjoyable. Thank you for bringing it in.
Cool.
So we are going to take a very short break and do a technology change and then come back for a Type 3 land use review for the OHSU hospital expansion. It's 10 minutes before 3. Let's
all your notes.
Let's see if we can keep it to 5 minutes.
I thought I saw Carol.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Laura, can you send me a copy of the presentation?
Sure.
The
PowerPoint? Yeah, totally.
I will stay.
Okay.